I think the key question oncologists have at this point is, assuming sort of the reimbursement issues are resolved and they're able to use this agent, specifically, when should it be utilized? And I'm curious, sort of just to start, what was your approach to the use of first-line chemotherapy before May 16th or before you found out about this study, and has it changed?
Well, there are these data for use of bevacizumab now in combination with paclitaxel. And so we certainly use a lot of weekly paclitaxel anyway as first-line treatment for advanced breast cancer, and that is the backbone for this regimen. And so for patients where I'm using paclitaxel, I think this is clearly the regimen of choice. I think the challenges that arise are, what do you do about patients in the second and third line setting, someone who's already had lots more chemotherapy? And at present, there really are minimal data that bevacizumab is beneficial for such patients, and I have not been going back and adding bevacizumab to all my patients with chemotherapy refractory breast cancer to see if we can help them do better. Another challenge is, what do you do for those women who had anthracyclines and taxanes in the adjuvant setting, which so many of our patients now have had? Do you rechallenge them with paclitaxel and bevacizumab? And I think some of that relates to, there are really two halves of that question. The first is, does bevacizumab actually help these women? And we haven't seen that data as yet broken out as a function of prior taxane therapy. The second is, should you give the taxane again? And again, we don't have good answers. I think if it's been more than a year, it's probably reasonable to give the paclitaxel again. Sometimes we've been giving our vinorelbine regimen because we've had this phase 2 experience with vinorelbine plus bevacizumab. Some people feel compelled to give capecitabine plus bevacizumab because, of course, there are safety data for that. On the other hand, those data don't really suggest that that particular combination does all that much compared to capecitabine alone. So this is the kind of figuring out that has to follow any exciting new drug introduction, and I think we're all looking forward to more studies, more phase 2 trials to really try and understand how best to use this drug for metastatic disease.
What about bevacizumab and docetaxel?
There are limited phase 2 data on that combination from a preoperative study that Sandy Swain has done and from treatment of metastatic breast cancer that Charlie Shapiro at Ohio State has done. You know, there will be finite response rates and safety data from these phase 2 trials. My personal preference, based on the ECOG 2100 data right now, is to use weekly paclitaxel.
What about bevacizumab and Abraxane, and where do you see Abraxane fitting in now and in the future?
Well, you know, one of the important things that you learn in a trial like ECOG 2100 is how safe and how feasible is it to give therapy. And clearly we have compelling safety and feasibility data for use of paclitaxel. So I don't know why one would need a different taxane beyond that.